Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel reading, we find Jesus once again getting into a bit of a conflict with the religious leaders of his day. And if you're at all familiar with the story of Jesus, you know this is not an uncommon occurrence, that Jesus always seems to be saying and doing these things which make the religious people of his day sometimes angry. You know, either it's healing someone with a withered hand on the Sabbath when he's not supposed to do anything, or hanging out with the wrong people, forgiving the wrong people, loving the wrong people. This time, it's about how Jesus and his disciples eat their food. Here's what Mark tells us. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands. That is, without washing them. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" To which Jesus, ever diplomatic, replies, "Isaiah was right about you hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Now, from our 21st century Houstonian perspective, it may be easy to look back on these poor, misguided, tradition-bound Pharisees and feel a bit contemptuous of them. Of course, washing your hands before you eat doesn't really matter to God. How could God really care about such a small thing? But before we get to feeling too good about ourselves, I think it's important to recognize what a fondness we all have for human tradition, human ideas, man-made morality, as opposed to the commandments of God. Let me give you just one example. I don't know if you've seen it, but at the corner of 610 and San Felipe, as you're getting off the exit ramp heading northbound, just inside the loop, there's a sign there at the stoplight. A sign that reads, "It's okay to say no to panhandlers. Meaningful change, not spare change." Anyone seen that? It got defaced recently, actually. Someone took a Sharpie or a can of spray paint. Someone didn't like that sign. But again, it's okay to say no to panhandlers. Meaningful change, not spare change. Now I understand that sentiment. When we give to panhandlers, we have no idea what they're going to do with it. We may be enabling destructive behavior. They could use it for drugs or alcohol or something else. There may be other ways that we can help them in a more meaningful way. But let me ask you a question. Is that human logic, human tradition, human reasoning, or is it the commandment of God? Listen to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 40. "If anyone wants to take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Now, we can argue with those words all we want. We can try to explain them away, try to talk about maybe how Jesus' context is different than our context, how he didn't, you know, really mean it. But there they are, all the same, plain as day. "Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." You see, the reason that we prefer human tradition to the commandments of God, the reason we are actually just like the Pharisees, is that human tradition is easier. It is easier to wash our hands than to purify our hearts. It is easier to not give and justify it than to give to everyone who begs from us. It is easier to believe that we are a good person according to some vague man-made notion of what that means than to actually ask the question of what God means by being a good person. Much too often, we are just like the Pharisees. We are people who, as Jesus says, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. So if we are to change, if we are to obey the commandments of God and not human precepts, the next logical question might be, what is the commandment of God? Well, one of the Pharisees once asked Jesus this very question, Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 36. Teacher, he asked, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So there we have it, straight from Jesus. Love God with everything you want, everything you think, everything you are, everything you do, and care for others in the same way that you care for yourself. This is the commandment of God. Do this, and you will live. Problem solved. Right? Well, not exactly. Let me read for you again the psalm we heard this morning, which in its own way is a summary of God's commandments. Lord, the psalmist asks, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? Whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart. There is no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend. He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor, not even on Facebook. In his sight, the wicked is rejected, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word. He does not give his money in hope of gain, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown. Does this psalm describe you? Do you lead a blameless life? Do you speak truth from your heart? Is there guile on your tongue? Do you ever feel contempt for other people? Have you sworn to do no wrong? Have you ever given money in the hope of gain? You know, there was a moment in my own life, almost exactly 20 years ago, when I was right on the cusp of becoming the kind of commandment-obeying Christian I'd always dreamed of being. I'd always been a pretty good person, if I do say so myself. But I knew deep down that I was a phony, that I wasn't giving my whole self to Jesus, that I wasn't obeying his commandments as fully as I could, as fully as I ought. And so I dedicated myself. I doubled, tripled my efforts to obey Jesus' commandments, not to be angry, not to lust, to give to all who ask, to be, as he commanded in the Sermon on the Mount, perfect, as my heavenly Father is perfect. How do you think that went? Exactly. Not well. I found myself simultaneously self-righteous and despairing and deceitful and resentful. Self-righteous because I was clearly trying so much harder than everyone else around me. Despairing because despite all those efforts, it just was never enough. I couldn't be the person Jesus commanded me to be. Deceitful because I had to pretend that it was working, that I was actually getting better. And resentful that Jesus demanded that I be and do things that I found impossible. And I remember one moment, I'll never forget, I was hanging out with a good Christian friend of mine and I was confessing all this to him. And I said, you know, honestly, I'm beginning to hate God a little bit because I feel like he's standing over me with a whip demanding that I do and be things that I cannot do and be. I was really in despair. And through that whole experience, I discovered that what Jesus says about the Pharisees in today's gospel passage is true of me too. Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." In trying to obey the laws of Jesus, I found that I too was defiled. And in that moment, I discovered and felt what the Apostle Paul writes about in Romans chapter 3. Here's what he says. "We know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds of the law. Rather, through the law comes knowledge of sin." Let me say that again. Through the law comes knowledge of sin. Through the commandments comes an understanding that we are hopeless, lost, or as Jesus says today, defiled and evil. Now that's pretty heavy for a Sunday morning, isn't it? It's a lot to lay on you. But by the grace of God, that is not the end of the story. Because Paul continues in the very next verse, and this is the heart of the Christian message, the heart of what we believe, why we're here to celebrate and not just to mourn. "But now, apart from law, apart from commandments, the righteousness of God has been revealed. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Remember the psalm for today? The psalm about a person who leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth. There's no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend, does not heap contempt upon his neighbor. Well, there's only one person in the history of the world whom this psalm describes. And he died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He died for your sins and for mine. He died for your inability to obey the commandments and for mine. My guess is that while I've been speaking this morning, maybe some of your sins have come to mind. We're going to have a moment of confession here in a few minutes where we talk about those things done and left undone. Those things which we ought not to have done, and those things which we should have done. And what the New Testament says is that on the cross, Jesus gathered up all of our sin, past, present, and future, and he nailed it to the cross. It died with him so that we could be forgiven and loved and saved. You see, there is nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God. And the harder we try, often the more glaring our failure becomes. If you don't believe me, then go home this afternoon, read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5-7, and then live by it this week, and come back next Sunday, and let's discuss. I'd be fascinated to see how that goes for you. I wish you well. The only thing we can do is believe that Jesus has done it all for us. He has lived for us. He's died for us. And when I heard that message again about 19 years ago, when I was reminded of that truth, I must say I was set free in a new way. For the first time, I truly loved God from my heart because I knew that he loved me, that he had given his life as a ransom for mine. So let us come to Jesus this morning and always, all of us hypocrites, all of us evildoers, all of us sinners, let us receive the gift of his grace, his righteousness, his redemption. As I wrap up, I'll leave you with the famous Anglican priest and hymn writer John Newton's words, which Russ has quoted before. As he got to the end of his life, he said, my sight is failing me, my mind is failing me, but there are two things I remember, two truths. I am a great sinner. Jesus is a great Savior. Amen.